The following program has been furnished and paid by Nathan P. Ross, CPA, and KSEV is not responsible for its content or the products or services offered.
Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us. I think that music's a little loud. In any event, before we get started talking about real estate, private partnership, syndications, multifamily in this case, and perhaps some zero tax math thrown in, since we're facing some perilous times debt-wise as a country that's going to affect you personally one way or the other. It's great to see some attention finally being paid to the sad state of affairs. And there's a lot of talk at the moment, but we're a long way away from turning the tax train around that is barreling down the tracks coming for you and I. And I will say there's plenty of things going on that give me hope, but when you got to look at whose ox is being gored, as the old expression goes, to ascertain how hard you think the fight's going to be that is currently being played out now between Congress and the administration, etc. Let's do this. Let's get our disclaimer out of the way. Just because we talk about tax strategies, tax rules, real estate, private partnerships, or multifamily syndications or other syndications, these are not DIY strategies or projects. You definitely want to check with your investors and your advisors. If you have fellow investors, check with them on some of these projects. See what they can tell you from a layperson's standpoint. Maybe they've been involved with the syndicator before, and you'd be surprised how much information you can glean in some cases, especially if you're a member of one of the real estate investor mentor platforms. We've got several just in Houston, and then of course we've got them all around the country, and it's interesting the different approaches and the different ways that syndicators have to portray their project. I was just viewing a partnership offering yesterday that was unusual for what we normally see, but it's not unexpected in the current debt market. And basically I'm going to say the syndicator was trying to do a refinance vis-a-vis a syndication offering. In other words, the asset had already been constructed or was nearly complete, and but they had a disconnect between the due date on their senior debt and when the asset would be totally complete, where they could start leases. And so they were seeking to raise money to basically take out the threat of foreclosure, it seemed like. Maybe not, but that's what I read into it, because I've seen this animal before. And we're looking at multifamily, but we're looking at it from a lot of different angles. And if you're sitting on the fence, you've heard me talk about multifamily syndications, you've heard others speak about it, either in the Houston area or San Antonio, Austin, Dallas. We've got a very active syndication market. It hasn't been as active in the last couple of years because of the scenario I just described, the debt structure and the debt options that one has if you're going to lead a transaction have been in choppy waters, I guess you might say. To navigate some of the issues is daunting at times, and you know, the bottom line is it costs you more, it takes more capital, and you got to plan further ahead, because the people that weren't planning ahead ago are now getting their scalp handed to them, you know, with all the distress that's currently in the market when it comes to commercial real estate and, yes, multifamily. But distress creates opportunities. And, you know, I know people talk about, well, you know, we make money in the down market or the up market. We don't really care. I wish they would stop and listen to what they're saying, because the real issue is some people make money in the down market, some people make money in the up market, and some people, in fact, a lot more probably, lose money in the down market, and maybe they don't lose it in the up market, but they don't make as much as they could have if they had had the benefit of foresight. And I'm going to suggest to you that, you know, for everybody that makes money in the down market, there's a lot more people that are losing money in the down market. And I know in the market we're in right now, there's been a ton of properties that were given back to lenders and or foreclosed on. And those people, let me just make sure the mentors that like to talk about how they make money in the down market, you do understand that when you give a property back to a lender, you're not making money. And I sometimes think there's a huge disconnect with how they see that. But in any event, check with your advisors always and ask tough questions of the advisors. You know, if you want help with that, let me know. I'll give you some questions that you can throw their way and see how they react to applying those to your facts and circumstances, because it's your facts and circumstances that matter the most. And hopefully your existing advisors understand what those are in your case and can correctly give you some guidance on whether you should participate in a certain opportunity. And for those of you that don't have investors, you're more than willing or more than able to go to our website. You're welcome to go to our website and fill out our client forms or intake forms. And if you'll at least fill out the first one, and by the way, that link is up at the top right of our baplanner.com site, and toward, I think it's the second link from the right, if I remember correctly. And if you'll fill out just the step one, form one, client profile, so I can get enough information about your uniqueness, then I'll be happy to take some time to do a phone call with you and give you an idea of how we might be able to help you approach real estate private partnership syndications, among other things. Speaking of, that's probably one of the things I spend most of my time on is reviewing private placement memorandums for the syndication opportunities and helping you understand what you're signing up for. And sometimes, well, most of the time it's primarily math, but occasionally, like in the case of the transaction I was reviewing yesterday, I decided to dig a little deeper and went out to the PACER federal filings site just to check and see, you know, what was the background of the individual or individuals, the company that were leading the transaction. And It's always interesting what you'll find out on Pacer. And Pacer is just federal courts, but there's other sites that offer state information. They're not nearly as well-organized. Pacer, if there was ever a case involving the individuals you're looking for searching on in any federal court, I've yet to find a situation where it wasn't on Pacer. Pacer's a government site, and so any federal court system, whether it's original jurisdiction or appellate, etc., will have the information that you're seeking typically. And you got to pay for it, but I don't typically do the background searches on the syndicators. I suggest to my clients that they do that, because some things that might bother me might not bother them, and I don't like to impose my risk tolerance on a client. I would much rather help you with the math, understand what you're signing up for, assuming the people are good and decent. And that's not always a true assumption, but in any event, that's the way we approach it. And I, you know, we're willing to dig deeper if you're wanting that, but we're going to be limited to what's out there in these reporting platforms. But anyway, if you, again, baplanner.com has the forms, and if you'll fill out just the first one, then the link right next to forms is call, and you can schedule a call on my call mechanism, and in any event, we will gladly speak to you, take some time to understand you, and then let you understand what we think we can do to help you. And it may not be syndication related necessarily. I have people that, as they get older in life, they tend to focus more on legacy and what they're leaving their heirs, and they get concerned if, you know, they don't have the proper documentation maybe sorted out, they don't have accounting system in place. I mean, you know, you think about it, at one level, you're not worried about the repercussions of your passing, because your situation is sufficiently simple where literally a stranger could walk up and, without knowing a whole lot about you, be given access. I'm talking about somebody like a trustee, give you access to the family jewels, as it were, the keys to the Porsche, perhaps, is another way of saying that. And they would be simplistic enough where you would understand, okay, this is what the person had. Here's the will that shows where they wanted things to go or not go. Maybe they wanted to control their wealth from the grave, quote unquote, which, you know, with certain types of trust we can do. And it's all a matter of complexity and amounts. You know, how much wealth are we talking about? I mean, if you've got a lesser number, you're not quite as concerned perhaps as if you've got you know, what I would call mass affluent, you know, 10 to 50 million, maybe not quite that much, but that's where you really need to consider some formal structures and controls over who, when, where, and how the money is going to be tracked and taken care of. And that's the work that we do as well. We're typically doing it with people that are real estate investors, because at base, that's kind of the pond that we play in. And whether it's, you know, commercial office buildings, or whether it's strip centers, retail centers, or again, our favorite is apartments, multifamily, you know, there's certain commonality amongst those assets, and of course the structures that tend to hold them, there's quite a bit of commonality. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our first break, and we'll circle back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back with more of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And I mentioned the oncoming tax train that you really need to start dealing with now that we've got a little more time, perhaps. Let me say this. There's competing threats when I talk about the tax train. I mean, we've got additional spending that the current administration's seeking to implement, which, the sky is falling if you listen to the people on the left who were running the government and didn't seem to bother them. The sky was definitely falling in some areas. Didn't seem to bother them until they were no longer in control. And now they're all about, if you believe them, fiscal conservatism, which I don't believe it, but I do understand the math, and the math is really the issue. And as much as I like the thought of no tax on Social Security as I approach full retirement age, and no tax on tips, that wouldn't affect me too much, or at all, but I know it might affect some of you, and I'll be happy for you. I think the less tax any of us pay, the better we are off. But, you know, the thing that could really change things for our country is the success of people like Doge and Elon Musk that have identified, at this point, tens of billions of spending that's just, you know, fraud, really. I mean, it may not be the technical definition of fraud. Some of it is, I have no doubt. But it's certainly waste, and it's for things that most of us had no idea we were spending money on. So that's one way to reduce our overall borrowing and the interest related thereto. And I added some articles to the BA Planner Show. .com. It's our sister site, and I've got a resource page out there. And if you go take a look at again, baplannershow.com, and top right, you'll see a resources link. Hover over that and select the news page. And there's some articles from earlier this month from the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget that I put up. And they're handy to refer to when you're trying to get your head around what you're seeing daily on the news when it comes to us trying to find and eliminate cost, because everything goes back to an interest payment that we're making. And for those of you that might have been sleeping on the last 2 or 3 years worth of our radio show, we're paying a heck of a lot of money in interest expense. And to be clear, we've topped the $1 trillion mark for the fiscal year ended September 24, and we're going to be over the trillion mark, obviously, for this year and probably ensuing years until we can make some major cuts. And the problem is, without implementing some of the plans that Trump has, we're not going to get there. And it will be about 5 years, well, 4 years down the road. 2029 is when the proverbial crap hits the fan, and we're going to have be in a real quandary, because we, by then, unless we raise more revenues, which again Trump is trying to do with tariffs, and I think it's, you can either raise revenues just like our personal budgets, you can either go make more money or you can spend less. You know, one or the other, or a combination of both, will get you to a balanced scenario, and that's the problem. You know, right now we spend little over $5 trillion. We collect a little over $5 trillion a year. We spend a little over $7 trillion. And so we've got that $2 trillion additional borrowing every year. Well, it doesn't take long before we'll be exceeding $2 trillion. You know, you're talking about 2035 is the current estimate. Our interest cost will have gone up to $2.0 trillion. The interest now, at that point, I believe the actual deficit, and when we talk about the actual deficit, we're referring to the amount that we actually admit to. We have more. We have a lot more. It's called the unfunded mandate, and you can see how these numbers play out on the usdebtclock.org. It's a wonderful site, and if you really want to be bothered by what you see, go put the mobile version on your phone, then you can check it all the time, and it's the counters on there are moving real time. It's just an amazing site, and it's free, which is nice. But in any event, you will see that now the interest expense exceeds what we spend on our defense. It used to be the fourth largest component of the federal budget after Medicare, Medicaid combined, and Social Security. Then came military, and then fourth component was interest. Well, now interest, we spend more on paying the interest on the debt than we do on military and defense spending. And that is wrong on so many fronts. When you look at our national security, when you look at what we could do with an extra $1 trillion of funds that could be expended on many categories, including defense, which, you know, that's, you know, a necessity. It's not necessarily a necessity that we go spend another $1 trillion on it. I think the if we're to believe everything else about technology, technology has decreased our cost on in many industries, and I would hope that the next rev of certain drones are cheaper than the first two or three or four revs, as the case may be. So I would think that, you know, ultimately we could spend less on defense. But that's not how the defense hawks think, and they think, you know, more revenues should mean more defense spending, and I don't know that I agree. But in any event, I'm not a member of Congress, so I don't have much say-so in that. But, you know, as someone that helps clients avoid the tax train, you know, we do have some things we can do to sidestep what's coming. And the only reason I say it's coming, it's the math. It's not the political leanings of the parties that vote. It's the math. And when we can't enjoy the privilege we now have, we're unique in the world. And I say we, meaning the U.S. government, where we can still effectively print money. But we've got to be judicious about it, or inflation will, you know, end our prosperity. And so you walk a fine line between how much debt is too much and how much should we be paying down. And even now, with the latest cost savings that Doge has determined, you know, there's a argument brewing. Now the Democrats are saying, well, we should be paying down the debt. Oh, really? And I don't disagree. I think that is what we should be doing. But boy, where were they, you know, 6 months ago? Why weren't we hearing that then? Or over the last 4 years, right? And so I think that, you know, there's multiple ways of spending these savings. And is rebating 20% of it to the taxpayer perhaps an idea? I'm not so sure. I'm in the camp that would like to see maybe more spending reduction, maybe a little bit of rebate. I'm not sure what the totality would be if you did what I think Trump and Musk are suggesting, a 20%, as Trump called it, a dividend of sorts. I don't really think about it as a dividend because I've never thought about paying taxes as an investment as much as the left would urge us to do. I've heard, I don't know how many times, that we're going to invest in our people. Well, I'm sorry, most of the spending that was associated with that comment had nothing to do with an investment. It was an expense, pure and simple. There was nothing coming back. It was only going out. And for it to be an investment, there needs to be something coming back, is the way I would think. But in any event, the ability for us to identify, I mean, we got to walk before we can run, or got to crawl before we can walk, and identifying the massive, just massive amounts of money that are either wasted or unnecessary is step one. And once we've done that, then we can maybe look at, well, how do we best take care of, you know, using these funds? And I would suggest paying the taxpayers back might come lower in the priority list of what we need to take care of. Because if we can reduce debt, we're winning on several fronts for that. But in any event, let's see. Oh, so back to the CFRB.org article. The as you may have heard, the Senate wrapped up their financial package that, you know, they've been working on. The House is now starting in that direction as well. But the problem is the Senate kind of jumped out ahead because they wanted to drive the agenda, I suppose. And so now the House's version has to meet theirs effectively, same cost, et cetera. So it's going to be interesting to see, is this finally the time when the Republicans start disagreeing again instead of thinking about what's best for the country? And the reconciliation package could be an amazing way to get Trump's plans out of the gate. And if we can get both bodies in Congress to sync up, on the one hand, it's going to be great. On the other hand, let me tell you what that does to interest. If we passed an additional $5.5 trillion of new spending and extension of the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the provisions that provided, if we do that without putting new taxes in place to help pay for it, we would increase our federal net interest payments to $2 trillion, or what would be 4.7% of GDP by the year 2035. That's way above the 3.2% level that we've used as the record that we had before. I forget which year that was. It may have been during COVID, but you think about that. $2.0 trillion of interest by 2035. You know, how remarkable would that be if we had all of that spending, available for spending on things we truly need? We don't really need interest expense, right? I mean, we do. We got to pay the folks that hold our treasury bonds. But I'll tell you what, if we don't deal with the impending crisis that's going to happen when we run out of the remaining portion of the discretionary budget, which again will be by 2029 for certain, could be earlier, depends on what the interest rates are that we continue to have to pay in the meantime. But by paying that additional money, it really stresses the overall system. And again, we've got a rare privilege of being the only nation that can effectively print money, and we're going to lose that if we can't pay 100% of the interest on the debt, which is what happens, by the way, 2029. The impact on our borrowing capability is going to be enormous, and it'll cause the massive inflation that none of us seek. And it will make it far more difficult to borrow money when investors are worried about whether they're going to get paid all of their interest that's due. But in any event, the other impact that, you know, we don't always think about is increasing the risk of a debt spiral that will push up long-term interest rates and potentially slow the long-term growth rate that we have in our economy. And that's a pretty critical measure. But, you know, we don't have much time, but we've got time to start making inroads. And, you know, the tariff is another unknown, or the tariffs. I know Trump's goal seemingly is to go back to where we were very early in our nation's history, where we had enough tariff revenue that we didn't pay any income tax. And that would be spectacular if that could happen. But in any event, we will stay tuned and see what the combination of these factors come up with. I was going to suggest that if we increase deficits by $5.5 trillion, the increase in interest payments over the next decade will be somewhere in the $1.3 trillion dollar range. We also need to consider the interest rates that creditors will charge for holding debt. And by the way, of our $37 trillion, I believe it's still the number, there's about $7 trillion that certain government agencies owe other government agencies. So there's ways that once we get to the point where we can't pay 100% of the interest on the debt, that we can still try to massage. It's kind of like the debt ceiling that we're getting ready to have another battle over. You know, there's things they can change in their processing task to where they can effectively push off some of the impact temporarily. So I'm sure they'll be looking at what categories we can hold off on. Well, let's go ahead and take our second break. We'll come back momentarily with the final segment of this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always come.
secret. With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-782-1900. That's 713-782-1900. Or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com. That's Nathan at npross.com.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Like the song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing. Big dreams and fake dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and fake dreams.
Final segment of this week's Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And let's talk about how the tax, debt, etc. situation, how can we avoid it, or how can we minimize the impact on us as taxpayers? And of course, there's multiple types of income that or cash flow that we can receive. And, you know, as I've mentioned throughout the show here, most of my clients are involved in real estate, and real estate is absolutely a preferred cash flow stream under the tax code. And, you know, we get write-offs that essentially minimize or maybe totally eliminate, you know, the tax burden for certain years, and then we get preferential treatment on the gains. And that's just the general rule. That's assuming you don't have your money invested through certain retirement vehicles. So we're already better off than if we were working a job, getting a W-2 or a 1099 for the income that came out of, for instance, a private partnership. Syndication, maybe you invested in a multifamily project, but we can fully exploit the benefits of investing our retirement money in real estate, because we get to a point with certain types of retirement plans. The one that we like is a self-directed 401 trust, and it's just absolutely the best vehicle to invest in real estate, period, especially with these passive multifamily syndications. And just to give you a few of the benefits, there's the ability to move your money from pre-tax funds over to Roth within the self-directed 401 trust, even as it's been invested. And the beauty of that, or the relative preferential treatment that we get in doing that Roth conversion is that once your money is into private company investments, like a partnership that you invest with, which is nothing more than people like you. I'm talking about a crowdfunding partnership. It's people just like you that have capital they can invest, and it allows you to do several things. It allows you to stay in bed every morning if you care to. You don't have to get out of bed to go run the partnership. And, you know, as you get older in life, maybe it's not, I shouldn't have used the example of getting out of bed. And by the way, we don't ever retire. We just simply refocus. So whatever it is that you've refocused on, you can do that. You don't have to be burdened with running a piece of rental property. And I understand everybody looks at that differently. Some people get so much satisfaction out of repairing a broken window or unclogging a toilet or whatever they do, which, you know, I totally disagree with. I really want to be passive with things that I do at my age now. I'll be 65 here in a month and a half, and I don't want to have to be worried about, you know, quote, running the property. I do that on some of mine, but I'm in a role where I can live, I can enjoy part-time living abroad, and I'm going to suggest everybody, if you haven't done it by the time you refocus, I'm going to strongly encourage you to step outside the U.S. You know, come see me in Thailand, okay? I'm going to do some education over there. Come take a course that gets into much more detail on all these topics we, you know, address, you know, just a little bit on the air. Come see how the rest of the world lives. You might be shocked that you could live in a place as infrastructure ready as Bangkok at 30% of what you're going to pay to live in America. And you've got Apple stores, we got 160 Starbucks in downtown Bangkok, we got Burger King's, McDonald's, all made Lazy Boy showcases. I mean, it's effectively much like a U.S. city. And, you know, it's got many other benefits. I'm just trying to tell you, you won't feel like you're totally devoid of American. Well, some things are great for us. Others are not so much. I don't, you know, the McDonald's hamburgers, whether you like them or not, they taste exactly the same over there as they do here. The Taco Bell's just as bad over there as they are here. Although I guess, you know, every place has something that's, you know, appealing to most of us. But the standard of living is just as high in some of the big cities around the world. It's just less expensive. And you could say that about a Portugal or Spain or Italy. And I just happen to know Southeast Asia. And again, going to encourage people, take advantage of the opportunity before you can no longer travel. And I know I tried to get my mom and stepdad to come visit us in Bangkok many times from the point they were 65, and now my mom has passed at 85, and it was just never something that she felt like she could handle. And I'm telling you, you've got a friend in Thailand, at least, if you want to look me up, happy to work with you and consult with you on making that experience the best it can be. As we were discussing earlier, the manner that you invest your funds once you decide you're going to go in, you know, with the real estate private partnership syndication option can be fully exploited if you invest pre-tax. Don't do the Roth conversion while your money's sitting at Schwab or Fidelity or whoever. Do it only after you've rolled the funds over to a self-directed 401 or solo K is the marketing term you may know, or an IRA. You know, IRAs do have a taxable component if you've got either Roth or traditional IRA. Actually, any IRA will be subject to the unrelated debt financed income tax if you invest in real estate partnerships that have mortgages, which I hope you do. Those are the ones that will make the most money. And but there's a tax cost to doing that if you're not in a self-directed 401 vehicle, whether it's pre-tax or Roth. The 401 structure is exempted from the UDFI or unrelated debt financed income tax. And that exemption is in code section 514, I believe it's 514C9. If you look it up, I may be off a subsection or two, but it's under 514C9. And, you know, it's amazing how that 401 structure, and it wasn't, you know, a single member option back when Congress capitulated to the brokerage community and agreed to exempt the 401 from the tax that would have occurred otherwise, as they wanted to expand the investment types that they could offer their 401 clients that they administered funds for. You know, the Fidelities of the world and Schwab and UBS, etc., handle most of the large company 401 plan investments, and Congress agreed, and so they exempted the 401 trust, which is what a 401 is at any level. It's just the solo K flavor is a single member retirement plan. Can be you and your spouse, but otherwise the only employees you can have are part-time employees, and they typically won't be covered under the rules that govern who can participate. But the thing that we like to do is we like to work with clients that can qualify for the 401, and I'm not going to go into the details here on the air, but it's not as difficult as you might think. And then we help you, you know, we review transactions that you might have interest in. And once you invest your pre-tax 401 money into a transaction, then we look, and only then, do we look at converting those dollars to Roth, because when we do Roth conversions, we have to calculate the fair market value for purposes of applying the income tax that you're going to pay to make that conversion. And we get significant discounts because of the private company nature of a multifamily apartment transaction that is typical of that class. I mean, there are large, actually, I'm sure there's some publicly traded companies that invest in syndications, but we wouldn't be looking to do investments that put you back into that pond, because we're looking for transactions that we know will not have the ability to be sold. You'll have lack of marketability discounts. You can't sell your investments in these real estate private partnerships until the lead partner generally makes the decision that, okay, we've got an offer that fairly reflects the value, we're going to sell. But that's a good thing if you're trying to convert pre-tax dollars over to Roth. The fact that you don't control the voting, you're not a majority control vote, well, that allows us significant discounts. And then we've got other things. You know, the real estate market, in case you hadn't noticed, is not, there's no guarantees with the real estate market. And so, you know, you've got risk that even after you've purchased it and rehabbed it, brought it up to market standards, raised your rents, you don't have any guarantees that you're going to fill those units. You don't have any guarantees that when you plan to refinance the apartments and take out some of your initial money, that you're going to be able to find a lender that will do that. Although they do. I mean, they're out there. And we that invest in these transactions, we understand how it works because we've seen it work. And what I would suggest to anybody contemplating investing in these types of transactions, don't go load up every dollar you have into these transactions. Let's do a couple small ones. You know, put 50 grand into a couple transactions. Learn how they work. Learn the expectations between perhaps a value add transaction where we're buying a beat up old Class C apartment and we're making it beautiful and adding amenities to it, like maybe a BART park or a media room or some covered parking or garages. In other words, we provide value add that we can charge for. Smart home packages, media rooms, just like the new ones that are coming into the market. And that gives us the ability to get the rates up. And so in any event, if we can get our money into those transactions and then pull the trigger on a Roth conversion, you've got the ability, after you meet a couple of 5-year rules, to qualify your distributions as being tax-free. Now, think about that when you're thinking about the tax train that's barreling down the track, and think about how much money you have in your 401 that you don't have because it's going to go to the IRS when you start taking required minimum distributions. Think about how much less money you're going to have if the tax rates have gone up to, I don't know, 40 to 50%, because that's where they would have to be easily to turn the tax train around, to deal with the deficit. And by the way, for those of you that think, well, I've got Social Security, well, if Social Security isn't fixed here in the next few years, legislatively, it's already been passed that we will take a 23 to 25% reduction, every Social Security recipient, depending on what the interest rates are, everything that happens between now and then, will force us to take that mandatory reduction. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show. We appreciate you joining in. We'll be back on Sunday with more of the Be a Planner cyber version of our show. We discuss cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, etc., with our expert, Mr. AI Nguyen, and we hope you can join us. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.